God doesn't pay off every Saturday. God doesn't pay off every month. He doesn't pay off every year. And by the way, sometimes He doesn't even pay off in this lifetime. But there is an eternity coming.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk, and that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It is a great blessing to be here. We praise the Lord for the good services this morning. And thank God for what is happening down at Oceanside at Coastline Baptist Church. It has been my privilege to preach in that church ever since they have started 10 years ago. I said in the preparation room tonight, it just doesn't seem like 10 years. But then somebody as well said, time passes fast when you're having fun, or time passes fast when you get old. So one way or another, time does pass fast, amen? But God has done a marvelous work there, and we praise the Lord for what He is doing here in Lancaster. Would you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6 and stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. I'm sorry, beginning with verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And verse 9 is my text tonight. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now I'd like to preach on the subject tonight of reaping in due season. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts tonight through your word. And we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was my privilege last month, and I believe I left here on the 20th of June, to go back to the country of Japan, where my wife, my daughter, and my son went for the first time in 1965. In 1966, we had the privilege of starting a church in the city of Osaka, Japan. And then just a couple of years later, in 1968, we started what we call the Kansai Independent Baptist Bible College. That's a long name. But really, we had all of three students, and the only room that we had to meet in on a regular basis was a room that was measured 6 by 9. We had a big start, amen? But it was my privilege to go back this year for the 40th anniversary of the Bible College. And to see what God has done over the 40 years, and it has never been a large school, but we now have some 187 graduates from the school. And they are ministering in some 45 different churches, most of them started by the graduates of the Bible College. And several of them are serving on foreign mission fields around the world. At the banquet on Thursday night, we had 140 of the graduates present at the banquet. And that was such a wonderful thing to see all of these that came as teenagers to the Bible College. And now they're out ministering all over the world. And I don't know how many times people said to me during that time, Brother Sisk, you don't seem to have changed any. Now, really, I've been old all my life, okay? My hair got gray early, okay? And that was help because the Japanese respect elderly people and they associate gray hair with old people. So even in my mid-30s, I was getting gray. But person after person said to me, Brother Sis, you just haven't changed at all. And when I spoke at the banquet on Thursday night, I said, I related that to them, that many of you have said to me that you have not changed much. And I looked at them and I said, you have changed. You came here as teenagers. You're old people, amen. But it was just a wonderful thing to see what God has done. And as I thought about that particular situation, I could not help but think about this verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, if you are doing something that is good, and there are a lot of good things we can do, amen? I think of all of the good things that the people of Lancaster Baptist Church are doing on a daily basis, many of them totally unnoticed. I think of the hundreds of hours that goes into the preparation of the campus here and making it beautiful. One of my favorite things is to thank the people who work in the nurseries, amen? As a preacher, that is a great blessing to me. When I first started preaching down in Kentucky, they thought nurseries were some kind of a newfangled thing that was of the devil. And every once in a while, someone would say, wow, if a preacher can't preach louder than a baby can cry, he don't need to be a preacher. And I'd always say, I can preach louder than any baby can cry, but if I'm preaching and the baby's crying, they're not listening to me, amen. But think about the nursery workers, the people that clean the building, the people that teach Sunday school, the bus workers, people that give on a regular basis, and on and on and on. There are so many people that are involved in the ministry here. And in reality, what we're doing is we're sowing. We're sowing. And the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And reading the Bible is a good thing. And praying is a good thing. And teaching Sunday school is a good thing. And ushering is a good thing. And welcoming people is a good thing. And on you can go. And we're sowing. And I watched Tuesday night as some 250 people lined the front of this building. And these were the people that had been saved and baptized in the last 12 months. And all I could think of, Brother Firsto, was there was a lot of sowing. And the Bible is true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So let's think together for just a few minutes about reaping in due season. Reaping in due season. First of all, think with me about the laws of sowing and reaping. The laws of sowing and reaping. Now, they're rather simple. I'll not boggle your mind, okay? But the laws of sowing or reaping are very simple. Number one, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Look at verse 7 again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Look at the term. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then in verse 8, he talks about sowing of the flesh and sowing of the Spirit. Now look over in verse 19 of chapter 5, just one chapter back from where you're at in your Bible. In verse 19, it talks about the work of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, barrenness, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and of the such of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that is when you're doing things that are mentioned in these verses, we are sowing of the flesh. And by the way, if you sow those kind of things, guess what? You're going to reap those kind of things. I mean, it is a very simple law. We reap what we sow. But then beginning with verse 22, we have the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, those are the things that you and I ought to be sowing in our daily life. The law of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. We don't necessarily reap what we would like to reap, but we reap what we sow. For instance, we reap what we sow in our daily life. Have you ever heard anybody make a statement like this? Nobody loves me. Or you say, yeah, I made that statement. Guess what? You told off on yourself. You know why people don't love you? It's because you haven't planted love. Now, if we plant love, guess what we're going to reap? Love. It's that simple, amen? Now, I don't mean if you plant love that everybody's going to love you. If they do, beware, amen? But I guarantee you, if you spend your life just spreading love wherever you go, planting love, planting love, planting love, you are going to reap love. You say, how do you know that? That's what the Bible said. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What if we plant kindness as we go along the way? I remember years ago when we lived near lived in Harvey, Illinois, which was near Hammond, Indiana. And Dr. House had a daily radio program. And every morning he would come on the air with these words, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. And you know, I've often thought, it doesn't cost anything to be kind to people. But it pays great dividends. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we reap love, if we sow love, we'll reap love. If we sow kindness, we'll reap kindness. If we sow unity, we will reap unity. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. By the way, whatever you need, let's stop for a minute tonight. Is there anybody in the congregation tonight that has a need of anything? Now, don't all of you tell me at one time, amen. Maybe after the service, okay? I'll take 3 weeks to listen, okay? Oh, there are needs everywhere. Everywhere there are needs. And the simple fact is this. Whatever we need, that's the very thing that we ought to start planting. Because the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For instance, have you ever heard anybody make a statement like this? I go to bed tired and I wake up tired. I'm just tired all the time. Now, if you're tired all the time, you know what you might ought to do? You might ought to start a good exercise program. You say, exercise program? I'm tired. If I start exercising, I will be tired. But the strange thing is, that's not the way it works. You start exercising, and the first thing you know, you've got more strength and more energy and so forth. Now, if you haven't walked a block in the last year, don't get out tomorrow morning and try to run 3 miles, okay? If you do, we'll probably bury you Wednesday, okay? You might start a little at a time. But it is a simple fact. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For instance, we do that in our daily life. We do that in our family life. You want there to be more unity in your home? You want there to be more kindness in your home? You want there to be more forgiveness in your home? Whatever you want in your home, that's the thing you ought to start reaping or sowing. And by the way, it's the same thing with our finances. Some people have the idea that since I have very little, then I had better keep what I have. I've heard people say, well, I don't have much, but I better keep it for a rainy day. And I always say, okay, keep it. It'll rain. Amen. No. What we ought to do, whatever we need, that's the thing we ought to start sowing. In our daily life, in our family life, in our finances, in the ministry that God has given us, whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. That's the simple law. Then the second law is we reap more than we sow. Think about it. 22 years ago, Pastor came to Lancaster Baptist Church. By the way, How many people are here tonight that's been here as long as, say, 20 years? Just stand for just a minute, would you? If you've been here for as much as 20 years, just stand, okay? Now that's one of you may be saved. You know what happened? Back some 22 years ago, some of you have been here for the whole time. And some of you have been here for 20 years. Some of you have been here for 15 years and on and on and on. But what has been happening in all of these years, you've been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And when you drive down 40th Avenue and you come up on all of these buildings, and then you come to a service like Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and you see all the people that have been saved and all of the great things that God has done for Lancaster Baptist Church, that is a result of your sowing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we reap what we sow. But isn't it wonderful? We reap a lot more than we sow. In the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8, we read these words. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it liked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And by the way, haven't you noticed that as you have begun to do various kinds of work? I mean, sometimes you sow the seed and nothing happens to it. Sometimes you sow the seed, it looks like it's going to bring forth fruit, and then all of a sudden it withers away. And there's all kind of things like that. But then, thank God, you get to the last part and it says, and others fell on good ground. In other words, if you just keep on sowing, then some of it is going to fall on good ground. And the Bible says of this that it bear an hundredfold. And you think about all that God has done for Lancaster Baptist Church, and it is a result of people that just kept on sowing, kept on sowing, kept on sowing. And as a result, we're seeing some great and wonderful things. It happened in Japan. I can remember when we were in our early days in Japan, and we would go out and pass out thousands of pamphlets inviting people to come, and maybe one or two people would come. We would read about somebody in Africa showing a Christian film and 100 people getting saved. We would read about somebody in the Philippines having a service and 500 people came and 200 people got saved, and on and on and on. And sometimes it looked like very little was happening. But thank God the due season is coming. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We reap a whole lot more than we sow. I think a perfect example of that is a watermelon. That sounds good tonight, doesn't it? But a watermelon, you think about it. A little bitty watermelon seed you planted. And that little bitty watermelon seed is capable of producing a watermelon that could weigh as much as 40 or 50 pounds. And guess what? In that 40 or 50 pound watermelon, there are about 3 billion seeds. You say, not that many, brother said. It seems like it, amen. And one seed, it all came from one seed. And then you can imagine, when it just boggles your mind to think about the potential, but think about taking all of those seeds in one watermelon and then planting them all again. And when we're involved in the work of God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to reap a whole lot more than we sow. But if we're going to sow, if we're going to reap, then we're going to have to sow. We're going to have to sow. Ecclesiastes has a wonderful word about this. Listen to it. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. In other words, you say, oh, well, this probably wouldn't do any good, or this is not a good time to do that, and so forth. And that's what he's talking about here. But notice what he goes on to say. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the work of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, the preacher in Ecclesiastes is saying, just keep on sowing. Don't worry about the reaping. The reaping will come if we're faithful to sow. So we reap what we sow, but we're going to reap a whole lot more than we sow. And then the third law is we reap in proportion as we sow. The more we sow, the more we reap. We sing the song sometimes, I wish I had given him more. It's a wonderful song. And the essence of it is when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account for the things done in our body, that we will wish we had have given him more. And I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt, regardless of who it is, all of us, when we stand there, we will have wished we would have given him more. More of our life, more of our devotion, more of our time, more of ourselves. But guess what? It'll be too late then. But now, while we're living, we have an opportunity to give him more. And we're going to reap in proportion as we sow. I've told you this, but some of you are new. But we had a wonderful example of this years ago when I was pastoring down in Kentucky. And I went to preach in a rural church. And they did not have a pastor. They had services on Sunday afternoon. When I got there, they welcomed me. And we had a good time welcoming each other and so forth. And when the service started, they took an offering. And they said, now, we're going to give all of the offering to Brother Sisk. We want to help him pay his expense and so forth. Thank God I didn't have to travel very far to get there, okay? But they said we want to help him with his expense. And they took an offering that day. And I've always had a habit. I started this many, many, many years ago. Every time the offering plate is passed, I put something in. Every time. I never let it fail. Now, I might have to borrow it from my wife or somebody next standing next to me or something. But I always put something in. Now, if I know the offering is for me, I put in a little extra, okay? But anyway, that day I was sitting on the front seat. So when the offering plate was passed, I just put in a dollar bill. And after the service was over, they gave me an envelope and said, here's your offering, Brother Seth. And so I put the offering in my pocket. And on the way back to Providence, I said to Virginia, I said, well, I think I'll see what they gave me for an offering. And I took out the envelope and opened it. And in the envelope, there was a $1 bill. And I said to Virginia, this is strange. They said they were going to give me all the offering. I put a dollar bill in the offering myself. That's all that's in here. And after a while, she started laughing. And I said to her, I said, hon, that's not funny, amen? And I said, what in the world do you think is so funny about me getting a dollar after I put a dollar in? And she said, you know, Don, if you would have put more in. You would have got more out. Hey, if you'll put more in, I guarantee you, you'll get more out. Many years ago, I read a book by a great theologian. Not really, but he's a great motivational writer, Zig Ziglar. And I love Zig Ziglar. I think I've read every book that he's ever written. Tremendous. By the way, he's a great Christian man. But he made this statement in one of his books, and I never got away from this. He made this statement. Listen to it. You can have anything you want if you help enough people get what they want. You can have anything you want if you help enough people get what they want. Wouldn't it be great if we began to invest our life in others? And guess what? We're going to reap in proportion as we sow. And I look back over now nearly 54 years of preaching. And man, it just seems like every day now I get a phone call, I meet somebody, I get an email, or in some way I communicate with somebody that God has let me be a part of their life in times past. That's great dividends, my dear friend. When the Apostle John was listening one day to some itinerant evangelists as they came back from an evangelistic trip, and they began to testify and told about a man by the name of Gaius. And as soon as John heard the name Gaius, he remembered, wow, I got to lead him to the Lord years ago. And he wrote a little book, and it's found in our Bible, 3 John. And John was an old man by this time, and he identifies himself as John the Elder. And I don't believe it's talking about his position in the church there, but about his age. But over in verse 4, he makes this statement. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the faith. You say, sowing is difficult. Sometimes you don't see the result you'd like to see. That's okay. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then the last law of the sowing and reaping is simply that we reap after we sow. So many people have the idea, oh, when I get to a certain place, then I'm going to start sowing something. When everything is just right. And this is particularly true in the matter of our giving. And by the way, wherever you are, regardless of what your income is, regardless of how much or how little you have, you ought to learn to give the way God teaches to give in the Bible. And you don't begin to reap until you start sowing. And the great verse on that is Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And God's principle, God's sequence is always the same. Give and it shall be given unto you. By the way, I know that's true with finances, and that's the way I've usually taught that verse. But I was thinking about this the other day. This is not only true in the matter of giving money to the work of God, but it's true for a church. A lot of churches have the idea, we need to keep everybody that comes in. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to get the people in, but then it's to send them out. And is it not a wonderful thing that from Lancaster Baptist Church, that people are going all over the world. And when God calls somebody to go, we ought to rejoice. You say, but isn't it strange? God calls some of the best people to go. Who do you think he's going to call? Somebody that's doing nothing? I hope not. One woman said to me one time, said, Brother C.S., my brother-in-law has had 5 jobs in the last 2 years. He can't keep any job in the world. Do you think maybe God may be calling him to missions? And I said, I hope he is, and amen. Oh, God may reach down and call those dearest and nearest to you. God may reach down and call some of the best that we have. By the way, the first ones that were called in the book of Acts were Barnabas and Saul, and that was the pastor and the assistant pastor. It's true with our finances, but it is also true with our personnel. Go across the country. Find the churches that are doing something for the glory of God and that God is blessing, and you'll find churches that are not only bringing people in, but they're sending people out. We reap after we sow. Then think with me for just a minute tonight about the Lord of the harvest. Look at our text again. Be not deceived. Look at the word God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Hey, guess who's keeping record? God. You say, well, sometimes I do things that nobody knows anything about it. I never get any praise. It doesn't make any difference. God knows what you're doing. God is keeping a record, okay? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Nobody is fooling God. He is sovereign. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And God is keeping the records. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Oh, the wonderful promise. It's from God. God is not mocked. It is his harvest. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is the Lord's. And he makes a wonderful promise. In your Bible, in Matthew chapter 20, we find the parable of the man going out to hire laborers for the vineyard. I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, now listen to this last part of verse 4. Go ye also into the vineyard. What a great promise. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Listen to God tonight. You know what he's saying to us? Keep on working. Keep on doing right. Keep on doing good. Keep on passing out tracts. Keep on witnessing. Keep on teaching. Keep on preaching. It doesn't matter what it is. Keep on cleaning. Whatever it is. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. And God says, whatever is right, I'll give you. Thank God. We don't need a contract from him. Amen. That's all we need. Whatever is right, I'll give you. By the way, in this parable, he hired some early in the morning, 6 o'clock. He hired some others at the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. He hired some others at noon. He hired some others at 3 o'clock. And he said to all of them, go out, work in my vineyard. Whatever's right, I'll give you. He hired some at the 11th hour. And it does not matter where we are. We ought to begin to work for the glory of God. Because we know that our great God will give us that which is right. The promise. Then the validity of the promise. Whatsoever is right, I'll give you. The validity of the promise. In 1 Kings chapter 8, at the dedication of the great temple, after the dedicatory prayer, King Solomon addressed the people. The Bible says in verse 55, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, by the way, I like that term, loud voice, don't you? A lot of times people have criticized me for having a loud voice. So every time I read it in the Bible, I pay special emphasis to it. Amen. But he began to praise it. Listen to me. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised. Oh, what a statement. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Wow. In other words, everything that God has promised, mark it down, he'll do it exactly as he said he would do it. There has not failed one word. By the way, that's the reason we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Amen? There's nothing superfluous in this word. And we don't want a Bible that just talks about what the Bible might say, but we need a Bible that we can trust as the very word of God. There has not failed one word of all his good promise. Dr. Herbert Lockyer, in the preface of his book, All the Promises of the Bible, tells us that in the Bible there are 7,847 promises that God has made to man. Think about it. And there has not failed one word of all his good promise. I was in a mission conference in Asheville, North Carolina one time. There's a man who didn't like faith promise. I don't know what he had against it, but he didn't like it. And every night he let me know that he didn't like it. People like that, they have a way of doing that, amen. And when the other people filled out their faith promise commitment cards on Sunday morning, as he was going out that day, I was standing in the vestibule, he shook hands with me and he put in my hand a faith promise card. And on the faith promise card was written these words, I don't believe in faith promise, and if I did, I wouldn't write it down. That night, God led me to say in the sermon, I'm glad God believed in making promises. And I'm sure glad he wrote them down. Amen. Oh, all the promises, there has not failed one promise. Listen to him. Whatever is right, I'll give you. Whatever is right, I'll give you. The Lord of the harvest. Hey, when we're working for God, we don't have to worry about it. I mean, God is going to give us that which is right. Now let me close tonight with this. The possibility of the harvest. The possibility of a lost harvest. The possibility of a lost harvest. Look at verse 9 again. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And here's the one thing that would keep us from reaping. Look at it. If we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice some ways we faint. Number one, we faint through procrastination. Oh, there are a lot of things that need to be done, and someday I'm going to do it. And we faint. Isn't it strange? Most of the things we're going to do, we never do. Procrastinate. Sometimes we faint. And by the way, the Lord Jesus reminded us not to put off things. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, he says to us, say not ye there yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. In other words, don't sit around and say, okay, someday we're going to get involved. Someday we're going to get involved. No. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. In other words, Jesus is saying, what are you waiting for? One of my pet peeves is going to college towns and seeing people sitting around doing nothing that came to college to train for the work of God. Now, I've been to some of those towns like Greenville, South Carolina, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Jacksonville, Florida, and Springfield, Missouri, and on and on and on where there are colleges. And God forbid that it would be here either, and it well could be. But you go to some of those places, or Pensacola, and you could go on and on and on. I've been to all of them. And I meet people that they came to college, they were going out to do the work of God, and now they're sitting around doing nothing. All kind of businesses, all kind of things. Every once in a while I say to them, hey, by the way, when are you going to get started? And they say, well, we're just waiting for an open door. We're just waiting for an open door. An open door, there are 6.7 billion people on the face of the earth. There are cities all over the world that have no gospel witness. What in the world are we waiting for? Now, I think what some of them are waiting for is an opening in the Trinity, and I don't think there's going to be one, okay? No. Don't procrastinate. You say, well, someday I'm going to do it, Brother Sid. Hey, if you're going to do it, then you'd better do it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Sometimes we faint through indifference. We faint through indifference. And Proverbs 6:10, listen to this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Just sitting around being indifferent and doing nothing. Then sometimes we faint through impatience. We sow and we look for the harvest and it doesn't come when we expect it to come. And many times we faint, we quit. And yet the Bible teaches us that we need to have patience. In James chapter 5, the Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Be ye also patient. In other words, learn to wait on the Lord. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. You say, Brother Sis, when is due season? I've been sowing. I've been working. I've been doing a lot of things. I haven't seen the results I thought I was going to see. In due season, you'll reap. When is due season? I don't have any idea. All I know is that is God's appointed time. But mark it down, it will come. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. The writer of Hebrews has warned us, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The night I got saved, I began to pray for my dad. And many, many, many years went by. And I prayed many, many years for my dad. But one day, or one night in a revival meeting, I got to see my dad when he was 57 years old, trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Don't get tired of well-doing. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't faint. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then we faint many times because of neglect. Neglect. Why do we grow weary? Why do we grow weary? Why do people quit? Oh, we see it all the time. People began well. By the way, have you ever noticed how easy it is to start something? Isn't it easy to start a diet? I mean, you know, we go 2 or 3 days and man, we're doing great. Then all of a sudden, it's all over. Isn't it easy to start exercising? We go to Walmart, we buy our barbells and we buy our walking machines and all these things and so forth. And man, we really get at it and we're going to town. And about a week later, we put them up and they collect dust. It's awfully easy to start something and not finish. Why do we grow weary? I believe there's 4 simple reasons that people quit. They get weary. They've started well. They're doing right. But all of a sudden, they faint. They faint. And I believe one of them is our lack of devotion. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the church at Ephesus. And he praised them for many good things that they had done. But he said to them, but I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Could I warn you against something? Don't get so busy doing the work of God that you forget God. Don't get so busy working for God that you do not take time to be with God and to love God. Oh, they were still working. Their doctrine was still right. And they were doing all kind of good things, but they had left. They had left their first love. They had neglected their devotion. The next thing is we neglect prayer. Remember what Jesus said as he began the parable of the woman that had been treated unjustly. And in Luke 18:1, Jesus made this statement. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen to that statement. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And I believe Jesus is saying, if you're praying, you won't faint. If you're faint, you're not praying. And men ought always to pray and not faint. Prayer is the very breath of the Christian. And when we neglect our prayer, eventually, we're going to faint. Then another way they neglect is simply because of lack of nourishment. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hey, if we're going to finish strong, if we're going to do well, if we're going to reap, if we are going to refuse to faint, then we're going to have to keep our devotion to God hot. We're going to have our prayer life right with God. We're going to have to pray. If we're going to finish well, if we're going to missing the harvest, then we're going to have nourishment. Then I think another reason is people just neglect their rest. Brother Smith talked to us about pastor getting away and resting. And by the way, anybody would know the way the pastor goes, he needs a lot of rest, amen? He doesn't get a lot, but he needs a lot. And by the way, not only pastor, but all of us. Man said to me one time, He said, "Brother Siska, I haven't had a vacation in 10 years. And I said to him, "I'm not a priest. Don't confess your sins to me." And somehow people have the idea that it's some kind of a special treat that just work and work and work and never take any rest. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come apart and rest for a while." There's nothing wrong with rest. In fact, if we don't rest, eventually we're going to faint. Isaiah 40, 28 says this, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young shall utterly fall." I love this. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When are you going to reap? The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, I would be not truthful to you if there were not times in my life when I was working and working and sowing and sowing, and really in my own mind thinking, "Will we ever reap? Will we ever reap?" I should have known better. Because God has promised, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That's awfully easy to look at people that are doing well and are prospering and God's blessing it, and just to think, "Hey, they've always had it like that." But that's not usually the case. In most cases, there was a time when they were sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing, and there didn't seem to be a lot of reaping. But God's word is still true. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." God doesn't pay off every Saturday. God doesn't pay off every month. He doesn't pay off every year. And by the way, sometimes he doesn't even pay off in this lifetime. But there is an eternity coming. We have a new song that we've sung in our church several times recently. Well, I say we. I haven't. It's a special song, okay? But the song is just called Faces. Faces. The essence of it is, there was a time when there was sowing and sowing, and it didn't look like anything was happening. But then they get to heaven, and God shows them all the faces. Faces that you have been used to help them come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Payday's coming. May not be today, may not be next week, may not be next year, may not be in this lifetime, but that's okay. We've got eternity to enjoy the blessings of God. Just keep sowing, keep watering, keep pulling the weeds. And the main thing is, don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications exists to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.